The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So tonight is Wednesday night of the last week of the coming and going session, and the last regular evening talk. Tomorrow night we'll have the Shuso Hosen Shiki ceremony, the Dharma combat ceremony for our Shuso, Alan Richardson. And so he'll be giving the very last talk of the retreat, completely unprepared in the regular sense of that word. Of course, his whole life has prepared him for this moment, not to mention all of his Shuso duties and all of the talks he's been giving us. We'll be presenting him with a koan that David and I picked out, that he doesn't know which koan it is. And since there are something like 1,500 koans, we've been teasing him and asking him if he's been studying up on all 1,500 of them. Of course, in some way, yes, he has. He's been working with koans for many, many years and now teaches koan practice. But still, the moment of showing up, this is what Alan will be doing. This is what we all do. This is what I'm doing tonight. Showing up for what's present right now, no matter what it is. And coming forth as best we can. Always doing our best with the little tiny bit of information we have about what that might mean. And then getting feedback from the world about whether we took a turn that was positive or negative in terms of helping to heal this broken world. So now that Alan's back from teaching, he and I have been checking in with each other, and our watchword is moment by moment. So we'll see who's going to give the talk tonight, who's going to do Doksan, who's going to give Doksan tomorrow. David is still not feeling up to his usual perky self, so we're also holding in with him, seeing how he's doing. So bit by bit, circumstances change, and all of the plans that we made just a few days ago are temporary. I always make up the coming and going session in pencil for that reason, because otherwise just a lot of crossing out and changing. So the plan, of course, is tonight to go through some more of the last slogans in the last section, the last point, living with ease in a crazy world. And I left off earlier today with stay close to your resentment. Well, the next one is don't be swayed by circumstances. And this is a lovely guidepost for all life that we practice in the spirit of Zazen and the spirit of the Buddha Dharma. Circumstances change. I asked Carol to pick out any reading that she wanted, and it was Who Controls the Weather, or Who Owns the Weather by Joan Tollefson. Perfect for this particular slogan, because the weather keeps changing. Sickness and ill health arise, and then we improve, and our mood shifts. Sometimes we're really present and alert, and everything is going our way, and other times it's just, what the heck is absolute bodhicitta? I just want to go to sleep. Leave me alone. And on and on and on. This goes back and forth and back and forth. So the circumstances keep changing, like the weather, which we cannot control. But what we can control is how we meet the circumstances. And sometimes we meet the circumstances. What I mean by control is we can pay attention to how we're meeting the circumstances, because we can't control our liking and disliking. Sometimes things arise and we just don't like them. And if we try to pretend that we like them, then this is a deep lack of integrity. about what is arising in the present moment. If we try to pretend anything other than what's happening, and as we investigated earlier today in staying close to your resentment, being present with what's arising, resentment or happiness, is all that's required. And the second step is to be present with liking and disliking as a normal consequence of moving through an uncontrollable world. So don't be swayed by circumstances. And the next one is this time, get it right with an exclamation point. And Norman Fisher thinks this must be a joke. One of those very subtle Buddhist jokes that you find here and there. Like my favorite Buddhist joke is the Buddha's words that there are only four postures in which to do meditation. Only four. Standing, sitting, walking, and lying down. Nice little joke from Shakyamuni Buddha, because, you know, the joke is there isn't any other posture. There's moving, being still, and being still, lying down, sitting, or standing. That's about it. Which is his way of saying, practice every moment. So this kind of subtle joke, not a real laugh-out-loud, yuck-em-up kind of joke, but a little subtle pointer to, what is going on here? This time, get it right. And of course, it's a pointer to all the slogans, you know, and the idea that we can't ever get anything right. As Shinryu Suzuki says, one continuous mistake, paraphrasing Dogen, take a step forward, you're wrong, take a step back, you're wrong, stand still, you're wrong. So this is, it's impossible to do it right, but maybe this time. Certainly each time we try to follow the slogans or the teachings or the precepts or the guidelines for living that are part of this practice, and we fail miserably, we are instructed to get back up on our feet and keep going. So we can make the same mistake many, many, many times, but with more and more wakefulness. And in that wakefulness, we get a chance to see more and more clearly our patterns of reactivity, our patterns that we're in love with, the things that we think are who we are. And in that clinging to the sense of who we are, we start to loosen up a little bit. And maybe this time we'll just do things a little bit differently and there'll be a different result. This time we'll get it right. But remember the tongue-in-cheek quality of this. One continuous mistake, never getting it right. And then don't misinterpret is the next one. And I might spend just a few extra minutes on this one. It's a very nice one because it points to the common human tendency to think we know what's going on. this idea that we are the experts not only on our own inner life, but on everything else that's happening around us. We know what should be happening in Washington, D.C. We know what should be happening in our Zen community. We think we know what should be happening here on this retreat. In our own bodies, we think we know what should be happening. And in our own practice, my first teacher always used to say, you cannot judge your own practice. And he was pointing to this slogan, although not on purpose, because I don't think he actually studied these slogans in particular. He was a Zen all the way kind of guy. But this idea that we can accurately understand any situation that we're in, we're always going to be missing information. And Norman Fisher has a really lovely little paragraph, a guideline for how you can tell if you're misinterpreting the situation, your own internal situation or the external situation. And this is what Norman Fisher says. Here is how to notice when you are misinterpreting. When your spiritual practice is making you unhappy, when you feel grim or miserable about it, or, on the other hand, when you are feeling happy about your practice and therefore quite arrogant and disapproving of others who are not as peaceful and holy as you imagine you are. I just love this, right? Hasn't everyone in this room done this? when we're miserable, we think, you know, we're looking around maybe and thinking, oh man, all these people, they're sitting up straight. They must be, you know, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Melissa even says cool things about them. And me, I'm just an idiot. And yeah, sometimes she says cool things about me, but I don't believe it because I know that I'm really an idiot and I'm convinced. You can't shake me. When your spiritual practice is making you unhappy and you feel grim or miserable about it, that's a clear sign that you're misinterpreting things, because you just can't. We can't. We cannot. None of us can know how we're doing. And the wonderful joke that happens, more Buddhist subtle humor, when in Zen in particular, when we're working with koan practice, and we pass a koan in huge quotation marks. We really get a lot of insight and clarity, and it's wonderful, and we pass the koan, and we think, yes, I am just the best Zen practitioner who ever lived. And then our teacher says, okay, then, the next one is, and boom, we don't know what's going on anymore. We're sent back to square one. It's like that game of Candyland that we were talking about, where you keep getting sent back to start. And how appropriate, because this is a beginner's practice after all. This is a practice of not assuming things. So it's a great material for feeling grim or miserable about our spiritual practice. But then this other thing, which plagues us all, and I think it sometimes grows in us on retreat, because, you know, we're on retreat, man, we're really cool. And we're sitting all day from 6 in the morning till 9 at night, sitting and walking, sitting and walking. And we've become quite sophisticated about everything. We know when the bell rings what to do. We know when the clappers clap what to do. We know when to turn left, know when to turn right. And not even more than that, our minds are getting clearer. And then we look around at other people and feel kind of sorry for them, because they don't know as much as we do. They're just, they're the idiots. We displace idiotness sometimes onto ourselves, sometimes onto others. This is a clear sign, Norman Fisher says, that we are misinterpreting. So he says, when you are feeling happy about your practice, and therefore quite arrogant and disapproving of others who are not as peaceful and holy as you imagine you are, when this is your situation, Norman Fisher says, it is certain, I think he says. Oh, I turned the page too fast. When this is your situation, it is a sure sign that you are misinterpreting. And then he goes on to say, mind training, that is Lojong, will sometimes be difficult. But even when it's difficult, you will feel some joy in it. You're happy that you have the opportunity to do this. And there's a sense of generous acceptance of your life, even when it's tough, and even when you make mistakes, as you certainly will. You don't need to overdo the highs and lows. What is true in your own case is true for others as well. All inflation and disparagement is misinterpretation. You, others, and the whole wide world are as they are. There's nothing to interpret. There's nothing to interpret is the Zen version of this. How can we ever narrow the world down into good or bad, right or wrong, steady or shaky? There's nothing to misinterpret. There's nothing to interpret. There's just this, moment after moment, challenging and also nourishing. This practice, which has so many rewards, sometimes we actually taste our food. Sometimes we actually feel the floor beneath our feet. Sometimes the play of light against the wooden floor hits our eyes in just this very certain way that makes us delighted. In another one of our chants that we do, we say, don't be overjoyed. And this is another pointer to don't misinterpret. Things are just what they are. And they can bring a smile to our faces, or they can make us feel brokenhearted and not needing to go to extremes here. Things are hard, and things are wonderful, and that's all there is. And then the last one that I'll talk about this evening, maybe, is don't vacillate, number 53. Don't vacillate. Norman Fisher tells us that don't vacillate is a warning that we're vacillating all the time, that we're always dipping back and forth from side to side, from positive feelings to negative feelings, from tiredness to alertness, from steadiness to shakiness. It doesn't matter where we are. And to say don't vacillate is a little bit of a mispointing, because the actuality of this is to recognize our vacillation, to recognize that the world is constantly shifting and changing. And maybe just to mention the next two as well, maybe just this next one, be wholehearted. So Norman Fisher says, be wholehearted, don't vacillate, don't misinterpret. And then he says, stay open, stay kind, pay attention, don't forget, don't worry, don't complain. Feel your breathing and your heartbeat. Come home. So these slogans from point seven. Don't be swayed by circumstances. This time, get it right. Don't misinterpret. Don't vacillate. Be wholehearted. Stay open. Stay kind. Pay attention. Don't forget. Don't worry. Don't complain. Feel your breathing and your heartbeat. Come home. Thank you.